You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are doing a series on sound doctrine, and tonight we've come to Article 3, Christ's Resurrection. This is an exciting group of lessons to me because each one of these lessons takes us right back to the Bible, to the Word of God. And the more I study church doctrine, the more exciting it becomes to me. I want you to listen to the Word of God. Paul is speaking to young Timothy, his son in the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Paul's instruction. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The day has arrived that the Apostle Paul was speaking of. People ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Look at our world today. Look at the confusion. But we're not confused because the Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And so I love the Word of God because of the truth that it contains and the instructions that it contains on how to live your life and how to make heaven your eternal home. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is something that we celebrate every time we gather together in Jesus' name. The songwriter said it like this: He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me. A long life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? Say it with me. He lives within my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. That the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My subject tonight, Christ's resurrection. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, we love the Word because the Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It gives us instruction in righteousness. David said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against Thee. The Word of God tells us that You watch over Your Word to perform it. So, Lord, give us revelational knowledge tonight. Open the eyes of our understanding. Give us wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, Amen. Christ's resurrection. Look at Article 3 there in your handout. Article 3. We believe that Christ did truly rise again from the dead and took again his body with all things appertaining to the perfection of man's nature and ascended into heaven that sits until he shall return to judge all men at the last days. End of quote. Jesus Christ entered this world by uniting himself forever with a human body. It's important that you understand that. He was the very substance of his Father and at the same time the substance of his mother. He is very God and perfect man. Jesus, 100% man. Christ, the Logos, the Eternal One, 100% God. Put them together and you have Jesus Christ, the God-man. But I want you to understand that forever and eternity, since Jesus Christ came to this planet, was born as a baby in a manger, he is forever united with man. He is a man throughout eternity, although he is God. When you get to heaven, you will see a man, the one that used to walk the sandy shores of Galilee, that opened blinded eyes, that raised the dead, that forgave sin, that did all types of miracles. We shall see him, and the Bible says, we shall be like him, and we shall be known even as we're known. What is the gospel? Well, it is he who was manifest in the flesh, who was crucified, who died for our sins, and rose again, and who is exalted to be our Savior, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I like that because it doesn't just tell about salvation. It is the power that brings salvation. No matter how low you've been, no matter what bondage you have faced, no matter what chains you've been wrapped up in, the gospel is the power to break all of that, make you a new creation in Christ, and give you joy unspeakable that is full of glory. Look at what Paul, the great preacher of the gospel, said. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I love this. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." He said, the first things first. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And look at verse 5. That he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present, but some have fallen asleep. He said some of them already died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. The Easter Bunny is a fairy tale. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is a historical fact. First of all, the scriptures had foretold the resurrection of Jesus. That was the empty tomb. The scriptures that I just read, they remind us of the numerous eyewitnesses that saw the resurrected Christ. He was seen by Peter, and then by the rest of the apostles, and then by more than 500 persons at one time. That's a pretty good record, isn't it? Finally, he was seen by Paul in his Damascus Road experience. Add to that the salvation of millions of people. Then put your own personal spirits in there, and you will realize that the Easter Bunny is truly a fairy tale, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is a fact. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus is a fact because Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now think about this. Of all the religions that are on this planet, now a lot of them, they celebrate the death of their leader. But every time we meet, every time we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, in doing so, we are continually celebrating his resurrection. We do that every time that we meet. And he said, if two or three be gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him. Brother Milton and I were riding around today, and he was saying something about the church. I said, God doesn't dwell in temples made with hand. I said, when that veil in a temple was rent in two from top to bottom, God did it. That was God's way of saying, I'm moving out of buildings and I'm moving into people. Hallelujah. He said, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. So every time that you're doing something that the Spirit convicts you of and lets you know that you shouldn't be doing that, think about your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're bought with a price. You're the glorified God in your body and in your spirit, which are Christ. And that this temple, I told Brother Milton, I said, we could come down here. I said, and we were looking at a tobacco warehouse. I said, God would meet us in that tobacco warehouse. I said, matter of fact, he'll meet us out there in that empty field if we go there. I said, we are God's temple. And people, they get to thinking that, you know, this church is a building that's dedicated, but all this place is brick and mortar and some fabric, but you are what God is concerned about. God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And religion would teach you otherwise, but the Bible says the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hand. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. God said, hath not my hands made all these things? And while I was talking to him, I realized that every time I take my hands, now you take your hands and we do something, God is doing it because God is building and doing good things through people. His hands made everything. His hands. And we're his hands. We're his mouth. We're his feet. We're his heart. We're the ones that show the love. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you something. Every time we meet, look at what Jesus said, Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. See, our Savior is alive, and we know that to be a fact. We know that the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is real because we know what it is to be dead in sin, and we know what it is to be born again. Hallelujah. We have the witness of the Holy Ghost. the third person of the Godhead who lets us know that we are saved. The Bible says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a little voice inside of you that says you're saved. The Holy Ghost says you belong to God. You're not what you used to be. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I tell you, there's some beautiful treasures there. See, Jesus is alive, and we have the witness of his Spirit. Now, look at this, Romans 8 and 11. I love this. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, that resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the same power when you were dead in sin and transgression that brought new life and made you a new creation in Christ. And that life is resident in you. And when you realize that Christ is alive and he's in you, the mystery God had hidden for ages, then you realize that there's a force, a dynamic, energetic force called the Holy Ghost, called God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, working inside your body. That divinity lives inside of you, hallelujah, and you're God's temple. Look at Ephesians 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sin, has he quickened, as that word quickened. I think they liked that back then in the old English, you know. They used it a lot. It means to make alive. He made alive. Even we who were dead in sin, and hath he quickened together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. Then he goes on to say that we're raised together and we're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, you're talking about a oneness with God, that this resurrection that we're talking about, that power that raised Jesus from the dead is resident in us. And that power is working in your life. And Brother Milton, I'll just use him. We've been together, and God has done some great things in his life in the last 2 days. Matter of fact, I told him, I said, I've watched you since you came to Westmoreland. And he has made so much progress, and I've watched God work and work and work. And at times, it's like anybody, you get the wind knocked out of yourself. I've said, look at what God has done. Just keep on. Believe God. He'll take you to the next level. And tonight, he's all excited because of what the Lord has done. We got his moped fixed. That thing wouldn't work. I'm not a mechanic, but I got enough sense to know somebody that is. And so yesterday we went and got a spark plug, and I called a man, and he come over and put the thing in there for us, and that thing popped, pow, fired right up. And he's going to sell that because he got a new set of wheels. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's a good God. But Paul is simply saying this. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been quickened. We have been made alive. We have been raised together with him by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, that's power when you think about that. When you go back, and I love to do this, I like to go back to my experience where I was first saved. And I tell the Lord this. This is my way of trying to stay humble before him. Everybody has their own way of doing it. But I said, Lord, I want to always be broken before you. I don't want my life broken and in shambles like it was when I came to you. But a broken spirit and a contrite heart, he will not turn away. And if you will always stay broken and humble before God and acknowledge him for who he is, you can get some great things from God. He will not turn you away. He does hear the cry of the destitute. I went back and listened to that sermon, you know. That's a pretty good sermon. I tell you, there's some great principles in there that will help you to know that God hears you. When you're at your lowest point and you feel like nobody cares, nobody loves me, and the devil will tell you that, but to know that God, that he hears the cry of the destitute and that God is going to come and help you. That's wonderful to know a God like that. But I want to look at one of the accounts of his resurrection in John's gospel. We'll look at chapter 20. Jesus has been crucified, and his disciples, they're in hiding for fear of the Jews. It's Sunday morning. It's the first day of the week. Look at John 20, verse 11, up there on your screen. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping as she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where Jesus, the body of Jesus, had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus, standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." He knows your name. He knew her name, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God." That's one of the most powerful verses of Scripture right there. Look at that. Jesus said, "I ascend to my Father. Go tell my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, to your Father, to my God, and to your God." Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. That shows your oneness with God. And then Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." That shows your oneness with him. He said, "I am thou and thou and me. I am thou, Father, and thou and me, that they may be one in us, and that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." God loves you like he loves Jesus. Matter of fact, he gave Jesus just to save you. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? What love? That he spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I have to fight the same battles you do. But I just take the word of God and I say, "God, this is what your word says. This is what I believe. And I believe my victory is on the way." Do you believe your victory is on the way? Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Just got to have some word for it. See, when these women arrived at the grave of Jesus on that resurrection morning, the Bible says the angels had rolled the stone away. They didn't roll that stone away to let Jesus out. They rolled the stone away to let others look in and to see that he was risen. And the first person that Jesus appeared to, it was not an apostle. It wasn't one of his 12 disciples. It wasn't any of the religious leaders, but the first person that Jesus appeared to was Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. See, Jesus always lifts people. Hallelujah. He always stood by the fallen, the sinful, and those who needed help. He always reached down and lifted them. Remember Peter? When he's sinking, he's walking on the water, he takes his eyes off Jesus, he's sinking, he cries out, "Master, save me." Jesus stood on the water, lifted him up. What a mighty Savior. I'll tell you what your faith will do. It will move mountains. Peter, I got a wild imagination. Now, Peter's walking on the water. Everybody's looking at him, and everybody wants to talk about him sinking. But when Jesus lifted him, the Bible says immediately they were back at the ship. Well, Jesus didn't pick this great big man up in his arms and said, "Let me take you back to the ship, Peter." He said, "No, come on. You got faith, Peter. Let me show you how to walk on the water now." And together, I believe they just walked back to the boat. And all those other disciples had to watch it. Use your faith, and I promise you something. Others will see God's power, God's anointing, God's grace, and God's favor on your life, whether they like you or not. They'll just have to say, "That person is blessed and highly favored of God." Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Use your faith. Hallelujah. Jesus always lifts people. So the first person that Jesus appeared to was Mary Magdalene. He had cast seven devils out of that woman. You would have thought, you know, that Jesus could have found a better representative to be the one that saw him first. But Jesus was making a statement here. He was saying, "I want the world to know that for those who have been held by demonic power and to those whom I have set free, I count it a great joy to reveal myself to them." That means that he will come again and again and again and give you revelational knowledge because he's taking you somewhere. He wants you to grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then you are his ambassador. And after you grow, you'll be able to go to people that had the same problem that you had, held by the same chains, and you'll have a testimony, and you'll be strong in the Lord. You'll be living life to its fullness, and you'll be able to set the captive free. And then God will use you to touch and gather in a harvest of souls. Go on, praise God. I tell you, that's exciting to me. Hallelujah. Jesus was also saying to everybody who needs deliverance, I want to deliver you just like I delivered Mary Magdalene. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said to Mary. He said, touch me not. Later, he would appear to his disciples. He would say, handle me, touch me, reach in your hand and touch my side. Yet to Mary Magdalene, he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Then Jesus said, go and tell my brothers that I've ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. What Jesus was saying in essence is this. He was saying, I have holy blood that came out of this human body. I have holy blood, and now I'm taking this holy blood back to heaven. The veil in the temple has been torn apart, and God is moving out of buildings, and God is moving into people. There are no more holy temples. There are no more holy buildings. And Jesus takes his own precious blood. He entered into heaven itself, and he presents his blood to God the Father for eternal redemption. When that blood spattered on the ground, it echoed up into the heavens and cried, it is finished. It echoed down the streets of glory. It cried, it is finished. It hit the throne room of God and cried, it is finished. And I believe as Jesus began to make that triumphal entry, the angels begin to sing, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he takes that blood and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat right there in heaven. And God accepted that blood. And the claims of justice have been satisfied. And whosoever, anybody and everybody that calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. It was Brother Elam today. He said, I was looking, Pastor, and I couldn't find that scripture. He said, I said, God, where is it? He said, I opened my Bible and looked down that word, Romans 10:17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't even realize it was in my sermon tonight when you said that, brother. But it's for everybody. It's a universal invitation to people to come. Come out of darkness. Come into the marvelous light. Come out of death. Come into life. Come out of bondage. Come into liberty. Come out of sin. Come into righteousness. Come into eternal life. Come into Jesus himself. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Come into freedom. Joy unspeakable. That's full of glory. So once you're saved, sin can no longer be a burden that drags you to hell. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, sin cannot drag you down. Hallelujah. I got good news. The Most High no longer dwells in temples made with hand. Where is temple? God says, I'm going to have a people, and I'm going to walk in those people. I'm going to talk to those people. He said, I'm going to put my laws and my precepts and my commandments. I'm not going to write them on tables of stone. I'm going to write them in their hearts. Somebody praise. Oh, yeah, you know he's already written them there. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. And all of this, it was made possible because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name. I love that scripture. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I tell sickness, you must bow to the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus. You have to get out. You have to go. We Pentecostal people, we talk to stuff. Start talking to your mountains. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus did. He cursed that fig tree. Hallelujah. And they come back the next day. You know, old Peter, he's always impetuous and always speaking out. He said, my Lord and my God. Said, it's a miracle. That tree's dead. Jesus spoke to it and it died. No, it would have been a miracle if that thing hadn't have died after the master spoke to it. I said, when he speaks as never a man speak. And he'll speak through you too. And he'll speak to you. He can speak through the sunshine. He spoke to one man, Peter, through a rooster. He spoke to one of his prophets through a jackass. He spoke to another one through a worm that ate up a gourd. He can talk to you any way he chooses. He's God Almighty. Hallelujah. And he loves you. And he will talk to you. Let's look at this Article 3 again. Article 3 of the International Pentecost Holiness Church. We believe that Christ did truly rise again from the dead and took again his body with all things appertaining to the perfection of man's nature and ascended into heaven and there sits until he shall return to judge all men at the last day. End of quote. Now, I want you to listen to another witness because Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And listen to what he said. Look at Acts 2 and 29. Peter said, men and brethren, I mean, the Holy Ghost. Is this coming to Acts 2, okay? Men and brethren, let me speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God is sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up. Look at this. Well, we are all witnesses. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed this which you now see and hear. See, it was Jesus. When these people, they came out, they were reeling, they were rocking, they were staggering like drunk men. And they said, they're drunk. They're all drunk. They've been drinking new wine. Peter said, no, this is that which Joel the prophet spoke of. So they're not drunk as you suppose. They drunk all right. But they drinking new wine. Woo! Reeling, rocking, dancing, praising God. Some were mocking them. And Peter says, what you see is Jesus got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at that. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to his church. And all these phenomenal things are going on. That's a confusing element about Pentecost. There's always been. And they were mocking him. And Peter said, Jesus did it. Don't you blame the Pentecostal for tongues. Don't you blame the charismatic for those tongues. Don't you blame anybody but Jesus. If you want to know who did this thing, Jesus sent the tongues to the church. Hallelujah. See, when you get saved, you're supposed to get sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. When you get a new pair of shoes, the tongues come with the shoes. And when you get saved, praise God, the tongues come with the experience. And you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. God's looking some clean vessels to pour out his spirit on. Hallelujah. Let me get back to this. Acts 2:33, therefore being by the right hand of God and exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shared this forth which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit there on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Wow. I love the scriptures. You don't get confused a bit about it. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said. He said it like these, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is passed into the heavens, Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace or favor to help in our time of need. Somebody go on praising. No matter what you're going through, you have a great high priest that has passed into the temple. He is the veil in that temple, the holiest of holies, has been ripped apart. And now you can go as a priest and a king under God. You can go into the holiest of holies. Let your petitions be known because you have a great high priest. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, the high priest, but there's only one great high priest. I got that from you years ago, Brother Ricky. You and I were talking, and you said, well, that's just one great high priest. And that thing stuck with me. That's good, because there were all kinds of priests, you know. There was Aaron, Eleazar, and then the priesthood just came down. But when Jesus, the Son of God, went into heaven, he became the great high priest. Hallelujah. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the great high priest. And he gives you access to the throne of God. Come on, praise him, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So seated right now at the right hand of God the Father is God the Son, who has entered into heaven itself. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and 5. Jesus will always be a man, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Look at this. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Look at that. There is one God, one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the intercessor for the saint, but he is the mediator for the sinner. You need somebody to plead your case when you are separated from God. And Jesus, in his high priestly role, he does that. He is the mediator for the sinner. He intercedes. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saint. When you can't get the pastor, when you can't get Pastor Ricky, when you can't get a friend, you have a great high priest that's living, that's alive, the resurrected, ruling monarch of glory, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he will intercede and pray for you. Isn't that wonderful? What a great, great, great God we have. Hallelujah. He has bridged the gap between God and man in order to reconcile us to the Father. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the mystery that God had hidden for ages. The Bible says if the devils had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you have God living inside of you. Look at, I love this scripture, 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, Paul said it is a great mystery. There's no controversy about it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is no myth. The scriptures just tell about it, foretell, and then it's played out in our new covenant over and over again. It's a historical fact. Moses spoke about it. David prophesied that Christ should rise. Isaiah and the other prophets, they spoke of it. The early church, they preached it, and they preached it with a stamp of divinity upon it. And signs and wonders followed them because they preached the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul gives his testimony to King Agrippa. I mean, we're looking at witnesses. And he told him about his Damascus Road encounter with the Master. Look at Acts 26:22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, when Isaiah saw his crucifixion, he cries out, who shall declare his generation? And in his despair, he said, he's cut off from the land of the living. He made his grave with the wicked, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, what an awful, dismal picture. But then the prophet he gets a glimpse of the exalted, risen, resurrected Lord of glory. Look at Isaiah 53 and 4. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Your seed, Jesus, is going to inherit the Gentiles and make desolate cities to be inhabited. And then he declares in the fifth verse that the Lord of hosts is his name, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Talking about Jesus, hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul, he was sent to preach to the Gentiles. And this is what he proclaimed. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ crucified. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Jesus Christ, the risen one. Before Jesus came, nothing was preached to the Gentiles. Think about it. You and I, we be Gentiles. We were considered dogs. And the whole human race was divided into two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. We were cut off. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God and in this world. Thank God for Jesus. The Gentiles, we have been grafted in. We're that wild olive branch. And we were wild. You remember those days, don't you? Come on now. You remember those days? But God tamed us down. Brought us in, put his arms of love upon us, put his love in us, and grafted us into that true vine, Christ Jesus. He's the true vine, and we're branches. We're to bear the fruit for him. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. What is our gospel then? What is the message of salvation? It is he who was manifest in the flesh, who was crucified, who died for our sins. It is he who rose again and ascended on high, who is exalted to be our Savior. It is he who gives repentance and remission of sins, and who upholds all things by the word of his power. It is he who will come again to judge the living and the dead. And look at this, 1 Corinthians 15:7. I love this. Look at what Paul said. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. There were some people wondering about the resurrection even then. That's always been Malchus. Hallelujah. But then Paul follows with this great proclamation. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. Because he lives, we also shall live. May God help us to be willing subjects of his grace. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Is that name Mother Earth, Buddha, Muhammad, the Virgin Mary, Joseph Smith, or Allah? 1,000 times no. There's no salvation in those names. They died and they are dead. What is the name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess? It is the name of Jesus, and there is salvation in none other name given among men under heaven, whereby you must be saved. Article 3. We believe that Christ did truly rise again from the dead and took again his body with all things appertaining to the perfection of man's nature and ascended into heaven, and there sits until he shall return to judge all men at the last days. What a great salvation. Are you saved? Are you prepared to meet God? Are you ready for eternity? Is it well with your soul? If it is, you got something to shout about. Every time we come into this service, you ought to come in shouting. You ought to come in praising God. You ought to come in with a song. I woke up on the other night and about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm singing a song, and I did a little thing out there. I put it on pray.com. He'll give you a new song. Hallelujah. And how many of you that you have a song? You know, even when things are not going right, you can hear a little voice inside of you speaking and a little voice singing. See, God said, I'll give you a new song. That doesn't mean that life will not have some problems and some disappointments and some setbacks. But I'll tell you one thing. You can snap back from your setback. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Oh, the stone is rolled back, go. The tomb is empty, go. Who's that?
Hallelujah. Glory.
He lives forevermore. Now, my friend,
let's worship him, church.
This risen
word is gone forth. Hallelujah.
Oh, I beg you,
woo!
Please,
resurrection power in you. Glory.
To pray.
Receive your healing right now. Glory.
Oh,
reach up and take that miracle from the Master. Hallelujah. Glory.
Woo! Oh, don't wait till you hear him say,
we love you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.